first rugby tots at the weekend. He was literally just holding a rugby ball, like looking completely confused. Very, very cute. And then he got discouraged because he got the run up to the ball and then he'd stop and then he'd kick the ball. That's not what you're supposed to do, James, just FYI. You're supposed to run up and kick in one smooth motion. And then got discouraged because other boys who'd been going longer were able to kick the ball further. So he had to be talked into continuing despite this. It was very cute. So it's James, presumably.
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
That is a shame.
All right. Ha ha, that certainly was amusing, Chris. Oh, you've really made me laugh there. How do you do it? Just amazing. Hello. I am good. I've been having a productive day. I've refilled my fountain pen. You know, I booked in my car for a service. You know, I've done things. Yeah. So exciting. I'm so thrilled.
I'm sorry. I just, you know, with the British Podcast Awards coming up, I had to back the winning horse. And it is clear the pilot is going to sweep the board at the awards.
Oh my
so God. It's going to sweep the one entry that it went in for. And I just felt that I had to be there for that.
Let's find out.
I like to think so. like Helen, though, I've been doing things. In fact, I have done things you people wouldn't believe, because at lunchtime today, instead of having lunch, I decided that I would drive to my local Sainsbury's and see if I could pick up bargain cut price Easter eggs. Because I figured they'd be like a pound each and I could load up the trolley. Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
What
nothing.
Happened? How? What? What the fuck?
Easter
there were
Monday.
100,000 of them in
that's
there.
Your window now. Easter Monday is it.
Am I too
that's
late? It. Is that what it was?
No, that's true.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I mean, it's really upset me because my whole week was planned around this. And I thought I was being smart. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm not going to wait until the weekend. I'm going to go out on Thursday and I'm going to get them early. And there was nothing. Not even a fucking cream egg. I mean, honestly, it was an absolute waste. Not even, it's ridiculous.
Oh, no, forget about it. Yeah, mini eggs are.
It's
yeah.
disgusting. But can't one buy them thing for love and money.
Yeah.
So obviously, I wasn't on the podcast last week, and yet apparently, I'm sure the tone was raised. But there was a number of people approached me on Twitter to mention that both you and I have the same freakish way of eating Easter eggs. You revealed it on Empire. I revealed it on Pilot. We recorded them simultaneously. There was no, you know, coordination here. But we are both refrigerators and subsequent smashers. Yeah. Egg smashers. Not flag smashers. Egg smashers.
Spoiler there.
That's what they put in the cream eggs.
Oh, we
Please
are.
Please listen to our Falcon and the Winter Soldier spoiler special, which drops on Monday. It is. Yeah, me too. See, both of those are shit eggs. Well, like, why? No. No. Yes. And you dropped it. Yes. And the other half perfectly intact. Yes. It's the dream. It's the dream.
What is wrong with you people?
Oh, it's amazing stuff. That said, orange chocolate is the devil's excrement. Anyone who doesn't have a Cadbury's egg, there's something fucking wrong with them. Like, genuinely.
Hey, there's a middle ground here. Orange chocolate is good, but it's no Cadbury's egg. Like, a Cadbury's egg is where the egg is at. I mean, and I you know me, I like my posh chocolate. I'm not like yous. I like my posh chocolate. I will have a Hotel Chocolat extra thick egg. Thanks very much. I know. Oh, honestly.
Couldn't make me eat it.
I'll tell you. Oh, no, it's so good. Yeah, they come in different flavours as well. You get the two halves are different flavours.
Yes, but they're all variants of arse flavouring.
No, they're
not.
Really,
they're
super delicious. Anyway, my point being, you can like orange chocolate and also Cadbury's. And also other things.
I don't understand, Helen.
There always is.
What is this compromise of which you speak? I don't understand. Ideal... Yes, only a Sith deals in absolutes, that's all I'm saying.
Oh boy.
Is it? Well, we thought the Empire Broom podcast would be a little bit misleading. I am going to the dentist. I'm going to the dentist so that they can remove parts of crunchy egg from parts of my teeth I didn't know existed. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Do they just hand out COVID at the door, or do you just roll the dice when you get onto the chair? So just the 2.5 hours then.
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Hallelujah! I don't know what it is, so...
I forget.
What is the listener question? Oh.
Right, let's do that. It's easier. Oh. Oh. Yeah, wouldn't they be sucking your soul out while you're trying to hug them? I feel like that's a really fraught tactic.
Yeah, in fairness, I have dated people like that. No, I think I wouldn't hug a Dementor. I really wouldn't. Or a Ringwraith, for that matter. They've got also Ringwraiths have got pointy bits. Hug one of those, you'd never play the guitar again. You shouldn't. That's definitely frowned upon. Thanos needs a hug, I'm
No, he
saying, on
doesn't.
account of being much maligned.
No, he isn't. Yes, let's
What,
do
hug?
that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it was not a joke. I was 100% serious. The man had his hand cut off, Chris. He brought whales to the Hudson and they cut off his hand. He needs a hug. That's all right.
I mean, oh good Lord, Ebony Maw would. Nobody
Cull
else should.
Obsidian is the hugger.
Well,
No.
no. With those hands, absolutely not. No.
No.
Frankenstein's monster is the correct answer. That's like
He'd
he
hug you to
genuinely.
death.
No, but he genuinely needs a hug, and he wouldn't necessarily hug you to death if you got him in the right mood.
But
You know.
wouldn't he accidentally hug you to death? Doesn't he have form in this area?
He might a little bit have done that sometimes to some people, but usually when he was angry and didn't know how to deal with it. Get him off. It's not that kind of a hug. Jesus.
Wow.
Wow. Good Lord.
Electricity can
No
do a lot of
comment.
wonderful things.
No comment whatsoever. No wish to discuss that further.
It's like if
So.
you've ever read the book The Power, which is coming to a TV screen near you before long, like, you know, if there are problems in that department, just a little bit of electricity up the bum and there you go. Does wonders, apparently. Have you ever read The Power? That is the thing that happens. Jack Reacher is not in The Power, to the best of my knowledge.
I was confused about that TV news. This is a different thing. Is that the book about the woman developing this sort of.
Yeah, so that's becoming a miniseries, or that's becoming a series, I should say.
I don't remember a bit with a bum.
Oh, because I probably won't leave this in just for because
Yeah,
it's
let's take
unpleasant.
this out.
But there's lots of female on male rape, and they electrocute them to give them instant erections before raping them. It's a sort of
Yeah,
higher
but it's
power
not up the
dynamic version.
bum, so that's what
I
was
thought it
confusing
was.
me.
I thought it was that that's where they
No,
introduce the electricity.
the thing is around here.
Well, that's where they get it from, but it's where they stick the electricity to make the.
Anyway, we're going to cut that. Let's leave it. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me.
Let's
One,
leave all
no,
that.
cut all the power stuff. Just cut all the power stuff. Yeah, it's not
Let's
interesting
do
or
that.
funny. Yeah, let's not introduce electricity. Yeah, exactly. It feels like a tonal shift that we don't need. Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Who's mummy?
Grendel's mummy. No, you wouldn't
hug
an alien.
She could hug you with four arms, so that'd be a pretty good hug.
I mean, I don't... No, but you probably... There you go. I mean, it's not really a film fact, though, is it? But I know... yeah, okay. I don't know that hugging an alien would be a good hug, even with the number of arms, because they're not very huggable creatures. Like, if Baymax is one end of the hug spectrum, I would submit to you that the alien is at the other. So...
But not in a comfortable,
comforting way. This is the kind of hug we're talking about, right? No. But well done for mentioning lots of hugging bear, because he actually is a villain who could be helped by a hug. That would be the case. Also, here's a suggestion. Anywho, the other... He changed it because he saw.
Hey. That's it.
Hey. All right. Yeah. Anywho, here's an answer that is genuinely true. Darth Vader. He needs a hug. Because he's lost, you know, he lost his missus and he lost his legs.
I mean,
and he lost
killed
his arms.
Missus. Let's not fuck about.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
He did. She died of a broken heart, Helen, after perhaps.
There you go. Is she the handle now?
The last time you saw her, you were force choking her. Let's not, you know, romanticize your relationship with her.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying he's been blameless, but I am saying that a hug might have helped, that's all.
I mean, the boy hated sand. He had issues, a lot of issues. He probably needed to work them through. Mm. So we're saying sort of a good course of CBT therapy, and that's a tautology, a good course of CBT, and then perhaps a hug at the end.
Yeah.
Yoda.
Oh,
Chewie, clearly Chewie.
Chewie.
I mean, if anyone's giving out hugs, it's Chewie.
Oh my
Yoda would
God.
Be a shit hugger. He'd be able to hug slash hump your leg. That's all he could really do. His little arms. There's no way you get a pro hug out of him. Yeah. Ewoks, again, good huggers, I'm saying. Yeah.
That's fair. Mm. Although, as long as they've been fed and you're not going to be in line for dinner.
Yeah, that would be less good.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't this literally the story with Dr. Evil? You know, that he really just needed a hug. So, you know, there are monsters that can be defeated that way. But I think you really want to be trying it with the misunderstood, like King Kong. King Kong needs a hug. Look,
Godzilla.
I mean...
Clearly. Yeah. It was an unexpected finale, but you know,
that'd be great. That'd be so good. Maybe Mighty Joe Young could be drafted in.
Yeah. In movie cinema, I do love the movie cinema.
Ooh. Okay, it's obviously Steve and Bucky in Wakanda. That's one. That's my go-to gif for hugging. I don't know what you mean. It's a gif. It's a gift of a gif.
It's the gif that keeps on gifing. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Great. So good.
Yes. In Jedi. Actually, no. In Jedi when they're reunited in the dungeon.
In the dungeon, yeah.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He's a hug.
Oh, he is.
And as someone who has had a Chewy hug, I can. They do live up to.
They do
live up to the hype. I mean, smelled of wet dog, but other than that, he's quite, you know, he's quite fluffy and you know, enveloping, I would say, is the word I would use to describe it.
I mean, Baymax is the other great hugger in cinema, actually, genuinely. I know I mentioned him before, but, you know, that's his whole programming is to make people feel better with hugs. There is a really good TV show I do recommend. It's on Disney Plus. But yes, Big Hero 6. Yeah.
Wow, they pushed the boat out with that.
Oh my God. It's too soon. So good. Are you just waiting until we say something and you're going to say, okay. Yeah, you're right. That's good. Okay. I mean, I feel like it. Okay.
Buddy the Elf gave good hug, as I recall.
Yes.
To raccoons or, you know, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Chewie hugging Leia in the cockpit of the Falcon comes out as a good hug. There's a gif of it here on repeat. It looks like a pretty decent one. I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart.
Oh, God. No, just over 40. Oh, yeah, Frodo and Sam. Yeah, that's a good one. Always hugging. Every day they're hugging.
Lots of hugging.
Oh. I refuse to forget about Stephen Bucky.
Does it have to be what are we defining as a hug? Is it like a full body hug? Can it be a partial body hug? Like, are we saying that Dylan, does that count as a hug? They're palm hugging.
No, of course it's not a hug. They're
embracing.
Hands.
There's an embrace there. It's just a, you know, arm embrace, but still.
Okay.
You son of a bitch.
It's more of a wrestle, yeah. Possibly a wrestle. I mean, I wouldn't call that a hug. I feel like that is an embrace.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I would say when there's penetration, it's no longer a hug.
There's no, but he, yeah, in fairness, yeah, they're still wearing, you know, bikini bottoms and so on in that scene. But yeah, it's, please don't. I was really, really hoping you wouldn't say that. And yeah, here we are.
John Connor hugging the Terminator at the end of Terminator 2. That's a good hug.
Oh.
You must lower me into this deal.
Hmm. Oh my God, yes. I think there's a hug at the end of The Notebook when her memory comes back. Spoiler.
Oh
that's
my
a pretty
God,
good
Helen.
One as well. I mean, I'm just saying.
I've never seen The Notebook. I'm not going to now.
Yeah, that's... He's a huge hugger. Yes.
It's definitely your fault. Again,
well, not for, I mean, yeah, the Kraken could hug you. I just feel like it'd be hard to make an impact going the other way.
I feel that's harsh. No.
Doesn't the Kraken just... No, there's... Wow. The Kraken really should sound like Julie Andrews, shouldn't she? It's Aquaman. Pretty much.
What's happening?
Stop.
It's fine. Righto.
Lots of good trailers this week. So Those Who Wish Me Dead looked fun. There was, what was the other one I watched? The Ghost. Yeah, I think it's one of those. My only question is whether John Bernthal goes bad or not, but I think he probably does. Ghostbusters, little thingy. I haven't watched the new Without Remorse. I didn't finish the new trailer. I didn't watch. Okay. I didn't watch the whole of the new Cruella, but it looks much better. And the new Black Widow, which does that cool thing,
that
theme
one
at the end. Yeah.
I saw that one. Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. Space Jam. Space Jam. Space Jam. Space Jam. No, but we should discuss that trailer because it's a fucking mess. Did we do the New Gods in the Trench last week? I think we mentioned them, maybe. Okay. Salma Hayek's joined the Gucci film. Edgar Ramirez in Borderlands. We should genuinely talk about Benny Safdie in Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. It is actually an important film. And that's all I can see on our site, but I'm on our site. So, oh, and then Creed 3, Stallone not in it. And Olivia Colman in Empire of Light.
The lack of a comma in the first part of Are You There, God? Is bothering me.
There's a
comma before Margaret. I feel like the comma before God needs to be there.
Yes, that's odd.
Because otherwise it's Are You There, God? But spelled wrongly.
Well, I mean, she is a teenager.
Has no excuse for being illiterate.
In fact, she's not even. She's a sixth grade girl, so she'd be about 12.
Because otherwise, I insist on consistency. It's either, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. Or, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. It's got to be one
Yeah,
or
I mean,
other.
It's fine. It's, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Yes, commas.
No, but there's only
Maybe
one
they
comma
could only afford
what I just
one.
Said. Oh, my God. Anywho.
Anywho. Recording again. We're back. We're back on.
Well, it's been a very big week for trailers, for a start. So going in probably reverse chronological order, Those Who Wish Me Dead, the Angelina Jolie versus Forest Fires and Bad Guys movie looks pretty fun to me. We're excited about that one. Yeah. Who can she trust? Do not trust Aidan Gillen. No, no.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about this one. I think it's going to be good. Look, I mean, I don't want to speculate about what deal she may have made with which Crossroad demons, but that's her business, and I respect her right. So, but she made a good deal, whatever she did. So, fair play to her. So then there's also a new Cruella trailer, which gave us a little bit more plot and a bit less style, and looked fun. It kind of made the case that Emma Thompson is dreadful and Cruella may have a case against her, so that's fun. There was a Ghostbusters Afterlife teaser, which saw Paul Rudd versus tiny little cutesy Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, who are cute. Ooh. Right. So, buying ice cream. Super on board. Paul Rudd plus ice cream. Happy days. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's like one of those early noughties Jessica Alba movies. Maybe he's really clumsy and therefore can't get a girlfriend. You know, the way that that makes sense. No. Do you think that would make the difference? Huh. Hmm. Yeah, it very much is, I think, yeah. I was wondering about their end game there, not to name another franchise, but I mean, surely they shouldn't want to s'more themselves. Surely others should be s'moring them. And that's how, you know, maybe we get rid of the little marshmallow men. I know. As tiny marshmallow people, it did make me want to sit around a campfire and roast marshmallows. I will say that. So, do you think? I think it again struggled to make an impact on there, but you know, very huggable monster at least. So that's good. Properly. Hmm. Yeah. So you would have hugged the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or like the demon dogs, or we, like, who are we hugging in this? I guess there's four of them. Like, one of them could have hugged Marshmallow. One of them could have hugged each of the dogs. You know. Mm-hmm.
In right. Venkman's defense, he was definitely trying to hug one of the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Pause.
By stealing the Statue of Liberty and singing, yes.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough, yeah. And there was also, yes. I mean, I remain hopeful of that film. I hope that it will be fun. It looks like they're going in a slightly more kid-friendly direction than I think the hardcore fanboys who rejected the last one probably hoped. But, I mean, fine. If they want to make a kid's Ghostbusters film, that's not bad. We all grew up on the rail of Ghostbusters, and it hasn't hurt any of us, has it? Probably has. So, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be good. Yeah, there was also the Black Widow latest trailer. And my favourite thing in this is none of the images. It's not any of the new clip snippets of dialogue. We get a tiny bit more from Yelena, Florence Pugh's character. My favourite thing is that they did a sort of Russian choral version of the Avengers theme, which very much amused me and which I'm extremely here for. So, yeah, I remain as excited as I was about that film, to be honest.
Well, we shall save our rendition of that for the spoiler specials, I think.
I know, right? We're just going to have to learn to speak Russian, guys. Get Duolingo on the case. Other language courses are available. Yeah. Look, I'm totally here for that, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, absolutely. Whatever it takes. I haven't mentioned probably the most talked about trailer of the week, which is Space Jam: A New Legacy. Which, I mean, you know, it's a trailer for a Space Jam movie. So LeBron James goes through a mysterious portal and finds... What? It's literally our job, Chris. I don't know how we deal with that. Right, but so, okay. Sure, so LeBron and his son, who's played by Cedric Joe, are trapped in a digital space by an evil AI, who's played by Don Cheadle, and the only way to get home is to lead the Looney Tunes gang to victory in a game of basketball. Right. So, wow, that's, you're really sold on this. And yes, they're up against very overpowered digital champions, and it ends up, for some reason, with like all of the WB characters, whoever were, appearing to watch the game. Really? I mean, Droogs from A Clockwork Orange are really in a kids' movie now? Mm-hmm. I mean, you certainly have a take, so I, far be it from me to in any way question that take. But this is a film that's happening.
I think we can all agree the most egregious thing about Space Jam: A New Legacy is that if you now go to spacejam.com, you get the Space Jam: A New Legacy website and not the 1996 Space Jam website, which has been there for 25 years.
Oh, it's no.
It's like an artifact of the history of the internet, and these fuckers have replaced it with an all-singing, all-dancing 2021 version.
Did they not put it aside, like, genuinely?
Well, funny you should say this, Helen, but if you go to the all-singing, all-dancing website, this could be my fact, and then if you...
No, it can't. You've said it now.
If you click the Space Jam logo in the very upper hand right of the screen, it will take you to the original Space Jam's new home, which is spacejam.com/1996. And they have archived it for posterity, so it does still exist
there.
Well, that's
amazing.
I highly recommend you go and look at it. It's better than the film.
Sure. Probably. Yeah, and the repetition of what Ready Player One did with the Iron Giants, who having him as a sort of this destructive force running amok, apparently. Obviously, we haven't seen the film yet, so that may not be entirely fair. But the original was silly and full of basketball, and this looks like it'll be... No. Yes, A Clockwork Orange, famously a great basketball movie. But... you remember that famous quote, yeah. Mm.
White droogs can't jump.
Oh, dear. Anywho, so that's a thing, isn't it? Isn't it? Do you think? Yeah, I did. No, but don't you think? Oh, no. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You both vanished for me, so I had to refresh the page, but still it seems to still be recording. Oh no,
yeah,
it's not.
Weird.
It's not.
Oh no.
Hang on.
Oh boy. Loki. I know, right? It just, I mean, I feel like I had this, what was it, wonder he was in a couple of years ago, and it felt like I hadn't seen him in anything at that point for years. And he comes back and you're just like, Owen Wilson's great, man. Like, where has he been all our last few years? You know, it just, he's one of those incredibly likable screen presences, and I'm super, super happy to see him in this. So it just looks good all round. It just looks really fun, weird. I still don't entirely know what's happening in a lot of scenes, which is the way I like it, actually, after a trailer. Yeah, having a super good time. Cannot wait.
I'm still holding out for kind of Loki plays Sam Beckett in Quantum Leap type format.
He basically is, isn't he?
Yeah. But you're right. It looks like this has many layers to it, and it looks like it's going to be something to unpack. It looks like it's going to have all the things that maybe Falcon and Winter Soldier is lacking, you know, like...
So far.
Stakes and direction and...
Hey, look, it's all going to come together in the last three episodes. All
yes.
of it.
Yes, it will. Let's hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Celestial bureaucracy. What a laugh. I'm genuinely, like, not even kidding. Yeah. We have. Yeah. What a Loki man. Hooray! Well, yeah, it's been a big week at Warner Brothers, even apart from this Space Jam trailer, with a couple of bits of sad news for films that were in development. So Ava DuVernay's New Gods and James Wan's The Trench have both been shelved for the moment over there. New Gods, the news came... So Ava DuVernay has, for several weeks now, been getting people going on at her, frankly, about casting Ray Porter, who played Darkseid in the Snyder Cut, to play the same character in her movie. She was avoiding the topic, of course. Ray Porter, to his credit, asked the fans to stop harassing her. And of course, it turns out that there was a good reason for her being quiet on the subject, which is that this project has now been shelved, which is a shame. So it could come back. And Warner Brothers have stressed that if it does, you know, these will be the people who are involved again. It's nothing against them, but they're not going with those stories. And they are planning, apparently, to have more of these interconnected films, which will have TV spin-off shows from their films going ahead. So we're going to have a John Cena-led spin-off series called Peacemaker from the Suicide Squad. we're going to have a Gotham Police Department show spinning off from the Batman, because God knows we know nothing about them. So, but these two appear to have fallen by the wayside, which is a shame, because they sounded weird and bizarre and very, very different to anything else that we had right now. Yeah. Yeah, but apparently not. So the Batman will be in an alternate universe, that is Earth 2, but the Flash will be Earth number 2.
Not to be confused with the TV show Earth 2 from the early 90s featuring Clancy Brown.
Thanks, James.
That's a kind of hot fact you can expect from the Pilot TV podcast, Helen.
I mean, that doesn't sell it at all to anyone, I don't think.
Really?
I mean, I love Clancy Brown.
Wow.
I love Clancy Brown. He's great, but...
Didn't see him on Earth 2, though, did you?
No, I don't think anyone did, James.
Yeah.
Anyway. but yeah, they are, as you've talked about in the past, Chris, setting up the Flash as their sort of multiverse establishing, clarifying film for this new phase. So, you know, hey-ho, so it goes. Onward and upward. This week also saw, obviously, a lot of chat about Ray Fisher's revelations about his treatment during Justice League. And the upsetting news that we could have had Regis Jean Page earlier, in that he was up for a major role in Krypton and was turned down. So that was sad. Yeah. Yeah, the Superman prequel, he was going to play Superman's grandfather. It did, yeah. But you know why nobody watched it? Because there was nobody super...
John Page wasn't in it?
I mean, Bridgerton worked, you know, so it kind of makes sense.
He did.
I'm not as invested as you, Chris, so I just want to check, are you okay? Okay, good.
Yeah, that was my thought as well. And like, don't get me wrong, like I think Stallone was in many ways the best thing in both of those two films. But I think, you know, this gives Jordan a chance to try out on his own and gives him a chance to shine. Like, he's really charismatic in that role. Mm. And I'm interested to see what he does without Rocky there to guide him. So, I'm fascinated by what Creed 3 is going to be. I really am. Such good films. It's unexpectedly good films. Like, when Creed was announced, I was a bit meh. I went to see it, thought it'd be a bit meh. And fuck me, but they are really good.
Yeah, really, really, yeah, really, really good.
Mm. Oh my God, yeah. I reviewed it in October. Yes. Well, because bear in mind that as we record, we are, well, by the time this goes out, we'll be sort of 3 days away from outdoor cinemas and drive-ins opening, and then just over a month away from actual indoor cinemas opening. So Monday the 17th is the date. Not all of the...
At the moment,
yes, it is obviously a movable feast. But at the moment, it is the 17th, and not all chains have announced that they are opening on the 17th. But I know Cinehouse, as we're now calling them, Cineworld/Picturehouse, are definitely opening on the 17th. Odeon have films listed for the 21st, so if they don't open on the 17th, they'll definitely be open by the 21st. So it is looking like we will be going back to cinemas, and I am very excited about it. Mm. Obviously, there'll be a few different chains. I think a lot of chains are going cash-free and contactless, and they're encouraging people to book online as well for their safety. Masks and social distancing will be in effect, so people don't need to worry about contracting a deadly virus when they're there to watch a film. But that does mean the closure of the pick-and-mix super-spreader bars as well. So, you know.
I mean, I feel like we'll
take it away. I mean, Strawberry Cable is part of my movie process, Helen, but sure.
My process involves
eating Strawberry Cable. Yes
I just do want to mention a couple of more pieces of casting news. First of all, that Salma Hayek has joined the Gucci film, the House of Gucci film that Ridley Scott's making, which has an incredible looking cast. And if you see the paparazzi shots from the set, the fashion, the 70s fashion, is off the charts. She of course joins Lady Gaga and Adam Driver as the central pair there. And I also want to mention, for anyone who read young adult literature, as it wasn't then called, in the 80s, the fact that Benny Safdie is joining Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, which is really, really exciting for a number of reasons. First of all, it's being directed and adapted by Kelly Frim and Craig, who made Edge of 17, which was bloody brilliant. And secondly, it has a really, really strong cast all round. Abby Ryder Fortson from Ant-Man is playing Margaret, with Rachel McAdams as her mum, and then Safdie as her dad, and Kathy Bates as her grandmother. And it's all about a young girl basically trying to figure out her way through adolescence, puberty, crushes, periods, boys, all of it. So it's a really important book for a huge number of generations of women at this point. Judy Blume book, bloody fantastic. So this is exciting. This is good news. I'm going to say yes, Chris, because I think you'll really enjoy it. God said nothing.
Hello. Yeah, see, I was saving this piece of news for the Pilot TV podcast, but sure, let's get into it there. I was very excited to hear that. Although, obviously, Q is an ageless immortal being, and John Delancey is like 70 years old or something at this
point.
There'll
be reasons. There'll be reasons. It'll be fine.
But yes,
he'll just be playing
around. I suspect he
will
make himself look older to make Picard feel better about himself.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's been a long time. Like, Picard's not coming back now till 2022, so I will have been Picardless for like the better part of 2 years. That is brutal.
Dude, you just got through like decades without Picard. Like, you're going to survive a 2 year gap.
But he's back in my life now, and I don't want to give him up. Flawed as that first season was, I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I'm pretty psyched to see this. And Q coming back is that's some good shit.
Yeah, I mean, look,
the trial never ends, Helen.
And it has to end where it began. You know, in Kinder at Farpoint, there's Q. So we need Q here.
All good things.
No.
No, come on. What were we saying? Come on.
Do we want to?
Huh.
Giving him a hug. Sure. Oh, God. Oh no. Oh no. Amen. Yeah, it's really astonishing. So Riz, as you said, is Ruben, who's a drummer in a punk metal duo with his girlfriend Lou, who's played by Olivia Cooke. And they literally travel around the country in an RV together. They're touring with their music. They're planning to record an album. And they've kind of saved each other from difficult lives. He's a recovering addict. She engages in some self-harm off screen, just for people worried about trigger warnings. And it's it means that when he does start facing this hearing loss, he really faces losing everything. Like, every aspect of his life is connected to the music, is connected to what he does. And so it just gives it even more impact and severity, and just presents an even huger challenge for him. So I just was so desperately invested in him throughout this film. I think Ahmed's performance is, he's never been bad in anything I've seen him in, but it is off the charts good in this, from the first moments of the film onwards. People have been talking about the technical aspects of this film, the sound design, to get across what it is like to lose your hearing this way. That's astonishing. But really, I think it's the, you know, it's the people, it's dealing with this. It's this sort of, his kind of panic and the way he's kind of trying to suppress it and deal with it and ignore it as far as possible. It's Lou's, you know, she seems kind of younger. She's seems kind of almost fragile at times, but it's her, you know, attempts to get him to find help, to get him to face his problems. And then it's in Joe, who's Paul Racy's character, who is unbelievable. I you know, he's been kind of kicking around for years, playing sort of smallish supporting roles, I think, in a lot of his work, but this has gotten him a huge amount of attention, and it couldn't be more deserved. So he leads a community of deaf recovering addicts, and Ruben gets some help from them, and he's just an incredible, incredible character. You know, he is tough and demanding at times, and can sometimes seem a little bit almost cultish, but there is such kindness and such compassion in what he does, and such belief that it sort of, it just works, and he feels like an incredibly real character and a real person. So yeah, I mean I was on board from minute one. I barely breathed until the end. I think it's phenomenal.
It is, it kind of, it all revolves around him. He gives this incredibly soulful performance about kind of swimming against the tide and trying very hard to undo the hand that life has dealt him. And yeah, it is about acceptance and, you know, learning to just deal with the things that happen to you. But it's, he plays that inner turmoil and that fight against it so well. And I think you're right, those scenes he has with Joe, who on the one hand is completely accepting of his deafness and the deaf community, and then a guy who not only has to deal with losing his hearing later in life, but the fact that it's not his hearing so much that he's losing, it's his entire existence, which is music, it's his career, it's his passion, it's his love. And I, to be fair to this, like, I think the use of sound in this film is absolutely incredible. I think the sound designer is called Nicholas Becker, and he does an incredible job of putting you in the head of Ruben's character as he starts to lose his hearing, and then, you know, as how he experiences the world in a different way, and as a man who becomes locked in because he can't sign, he can't read lips, like he has a fundamental communication problem. It's an incredible performance, and it's really real emotional ride, actually, this film.
Really,
I found
really,
it really
is.
Affecting.
Yeah.
It's not to my taste.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No. He's in his performance in The Night Of, which is an HBO miniseries, one of the best miniseries ever, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's such a good actor.
Yeah. He is very good. Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with that. But, I mean, it's a very strong category this year, which has not always been the case recently. But yeah, they're, I don't know. It's really hard because I just watched this last night. So I rewatched it, actually. But I'm still kind of in it. But yeah, I think I might give it to Riz personally right now. Let's just do it. It's up to us, right? We get to decide this. So, hey. We give it 4. I'd edge it up so. There. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, luckily he's not as big a bellend as you are. He is, in fact, a good Hewitt, played by Tom Holland. So, yeah, this is the adaptation of Patrick Ness's YA series, or rather the first book, I should say, in the trilogy, The Knife of Never Letting Go. It takes place in a dystopian future where humanity has ruined the Earth, go figure, and fucked off to colonize outer space. So in the year, I think it's 2257, we find ourselves...
2257.
Thank you. They're on this the planet, the imaginatively named New World. Really pushed the boat out there. No, not Earth 2. Clancy Brown is not in this film. Colonists have been living there for generations, and there are two things you should know about New World. And firstly, there is an indigenous alien species called the Spackle. That is not a joke. And the second is that your thoughts on this planet are amplified outside your head in a phenomenon known as the noise. So everyone can hear what you're thinking at all times. Now, the noise only affects men, but that's kind of purely academic, because in Prentice Town, where we meet Tom Holland's character, Todd Hewitt, no relation, there are no women at all. No women. That is until Daisy Ridley's Viola, a traveller from sort of like a second wave of colonists. She crash lands just outside Todd's farm and soon draws the interest of the evil town mayor, played by Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
But yeah, as you said, this has had a few directors and indeed writers attached over the years, including Charlie Kaufman at one point and Robert Zemeckis to direct. The reshoots, I think we were in 2019, they spent $15 million, I think, on extensive reshoots. Fede Alvarez stepped in to do it. So there was a lot going on here. It's not had a smooth pass to the screen. All of that kind of does not augur well for this at all. And it's had some brutal reviews in the States. However, this was not the car crash that I thought it would be, and I rather liked it. Yeah, admittedly, it's a YA sci-fi film, so kind of up my alley to begin with. But... I am, it's true.
MC.
Oh, God. But, you know, like, I liked it. Like, I thought the premise was kind of compelling. I thought, you know, the fact they did it visually, like, the thoughts manifest as sounds and images, this kind of miasma of sort of colours and lights and pictures that appear above the men's heads as they think. And there's inherent... Yeah, and there's inherent humour in a boy who's literally never clapped eyes on a girl before having his every thought telegraphed. Our John Nugent described this as what men want with aliens, which I think is fair.
But, I mean, the aliens don't play any role whatsoever. Like, just to be clear, like, but, James keeps mentioning them. Just ignore that.
But yeah, and this is where the problem is for me. Like, I thought Holland and Ridley were really, really charming, and I thought the story kind of has momentum to it. The problems I thought were kind of twofold. And partly, I think, the story was very lightly savaged, either in the adaptation or in the reshoots, because I don't think it bears as much relation to the book
as, you know.
I know you've read the book, so you can tell us in a second. But, like, and I think that comes across in the film, because we don't even scratch the surface of either the main story or the mythology of the world. So you're just left feeling like you've had a starter, but you're waiting for the story to kick in when this film finishes. And presumably that would have played out in films 2 and 3, but we're clearly never going to get those. So at this point, you just get the tease of a story without an actual story. And I think the other issue is this is a little bit YA dystopia 101. Like the books are supposed to be amazing, and I really want to read them. This actually really made me want to spend more time in this world and more time with these characters, so I now want to read the books. But I just think a lot of the originality in that probably doesn't really manifest itself on the screen. It ends up feeling a little bit generic, you know, aside from the noise. But like I say, I enjoyed it. I found it compelling enough. I really liked their relationship. And, you know, look, these two guys are both, I think, charismatic enough to make a fucking, to narrate a Nat West advert and make it watchable. So, you know, it's good. It's good. It's not the clusterfuck you might expect, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's basically how I'd feel about it as well. It is much simplified and sort of flattened from the book, which has a really spiky sense of morality, which gets more developed in the further two books of the trilogy. The books I cannot recommend enough. They are absolutely fucking fantastic. Incredibly tough reading at times, but really, really great. But yeah, I think they did the noise really well. I think the casting was incredibly likable, but it is basically a, you know, run through the woods to get to X kind of a story. And we do lose a lot from that. So,
as you said, the good aliens are completely extraneous to the story.
I wouldn't even have mentioned them in a summary. Like, they're completely unimportant. So... Oh, of course he's Tom Holland.
He's better than you.
So, you know, he is. He's my favourite Hewitt, for sure.
Definitely.
No. Tom Holland, the historian. The guy who exchanged the footballer, you know. Well, Empire gave it 2. I personally would go 3, yeah.
Yeah, I'd give it 3. Yeah.
You know.
Fuck him.
Hooray! <Yeah. laughs> I adore this movie. So, Niles, who is not Fraser's brother in this case, he's played by Andy Samberg, is stuck in a time loop. He's at a wedding and he's reliving the same day over and over and over again. But a fellow guest at the wedding, played by Kristen Milioti, who plays Sarah, also gets trapped in the same loop. So it's kind of a Groundhog Day thing, but playing out as this tentative kind of rom-com. But it's also a bit more twisted and clever and weird than that, in a way that I find completely and utterly delightful. I genuinely adore this film and plan on rewatching it essentially daily from now to eternity. But, you know, he's... I mean, whilst rolling in the sand, for sure. I mean, sand would feel more, you know, on brand for Palm Springs than surf. But yeah, it's just great because, you know, you don't quite know what's going on at first. We join the story kind of halfway through. You know, Niles is already stuck in the time loop and it takes us, the audience, a little bit of a while to realise that. So Sarah then becomes kind of our way in.
Hmm.
We do. Yeah, okay. I've spoiled everything. Ignore me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Map of Tiny Perfect Things. We've been spoiled for choice.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, the Supernatural episode, Mystery Spot. You
well,
love it.
Of course, I was thinking of that too. Yeah.
Genuinely great, anyway.
But even I laughed at this. And I
wow.
Yeah, I was not expecting a lot. And yeah, I thought it was delightful and really funny. I thought they were both fantastic in it. And like I said, it's like Groundhog Day, but with teeth. Like, it's got real bite to it.
Yeah.
And there's a real sense of.
Well, so does Groundhog Day, in fairness.
I'm not besmirching Groundhog Day, which is genius. And I really enjoyed The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, even if it is a little bit superficial. But this went to some pretty dark places. J.K. Simmons' character in particular in this has an interesting turn. I loved it. I thought it was great. Would I have gone 5 stars? I don't know. I've maybe been more in the 4 camp, but I do think it's great.
The only danger of giving this film 5 stars is that people go in expecting some kind of treatise on, you know, everything.
Which
and
it isn't.
It kind of is. Well, it kind of is at times. It kind of does. But I you know, sometimes 5 stars raises people's expectations too much. And this is a delicate little film that doesn't have great, you know, pretensions to tell an epic saga across 14 hours. But it's so good at what it does. Andy Samberg is the most likable comedian on earth right now. Okay, maybe John Mulaney. Okay, but look, I'll have them in a like-off if that's what it takes. But I just, like, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a work of genius. He is just one of the best guys out there. Popstar was lovely. This is head and shoulders above any of his film work to date. Even Hot Rod, Chris. Even Hot Rod.
Steady.
Hashtag never forget. Yeah. Toodaloo.
Goodbye.
You're not allowed.
Yeah, stay away from me. Social distancing.
It is his fault, though.
It is my fault. That's fair enough. I didn't know where you were going with that. I thought you were going to say Kevin Spacey.
Oh, whoa. That was only an hour and 20 minutes. My God. It